This week we are going to begin with Harry Truman, who approved allowing the Jews a right of return to Israel. Some believe that the Palestinian may be the Israelis. The Holy Spirit reminded me that they are Muslims and believe in the Prophet of Muhammad, who began his teachings in 610 AD, proclaiming God is one. He was a militant with an army of 10,000 that besieged Mecca and was later involved in setting the famous Black Stone in Mecca. The Quran, the doctrine of Islam, was the result of an angel named Gabriel channeling what to write to Muhammad. Muhammad had 13 wives, beginning with a child bride. He's known to have had epileptic seizures. Polygamy is an accepted practice in Islam to this day. Obviously, the Holy Bible and the Quran have little in common, although King Solomon had 1,000 women, 700 wives, and 300 concubines, but that was the reason why God had to leave the temple of Solomon, because these women brought in all his false doctrine. After 1877 years, Israel receives a right to return. That was signed by President Truman on May 14, 1948. In 1947, another prophecy came to pass. A member of the Rothschild family purchased land in Israel in 1829 and set up the Balfour Declaration. Matthew 24, verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When this branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. The world decided that the world wars were too costly. Although Google is hiding those numbers today, 60 million people perished, and between the countries involved, cost in tax money was $1 trillion. To prevent more wars, the United Nations was the final result, and a way was made to make a way for Israel to return to Israel. The fig tree came back to life.
May the 14th, 1948, the British mandate was on the point of expiring, and the British had made up their minds that they would not follow through. The Arabs and Israelis were all ready to go to war. Well, meddling or not, I thought there ought to be one more try to avert war. I thought that the United Nations was the proper place for this thing to be handled. Warren Austin was our representative at the United Nations, and he was against the Jewish program almost entirely. And I called him up at the United Nations and told him exactly what I wanted and explained the whole situation to him. And he asked me some questions, and we discussed the matter back and forth. And after he knew what all the facts were, that was the right thing to do. He said, "Well, Mr. President, if you want it, I'll do everything I can to put it over."
It was on the initiative of His Majesty's government in the United Kingdom that the General Assembly had placed the problem of Palestine's future government on its agenda.
The Arabs were ready. The only restraining force could be the United States and the United Nations.
The responsibilities of the Security Council in this situation are great. The Security Council now has before it clear evidence that the Jews and Arabs of Palestine and the mandatory power cannot agree to implement the General Assembly plan of partition through peaceful means.
I repeat again that His Majesty's government have determined to base their policy on the assumption that they must lay down the mandate under which they have sought for 25 years to discharge their obligations to fulfill the growth of the Jewish national home and to protect the interests of the Arab population.
In the beginning, it was called Palestine, a place of beginnings. Here, three great religions were born, each in its own way based on the law of one God. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And here for thousands of years, because his neighbors called God by another name, the believers of one religion slaughtered the worshipers of another. In 1948, one group wanted to return to their place of worship, and another terrible war exploded. Ladies and gentlemen, the 33rd President of the United States, Harry S. Truman.
No problem I faced while I was President of the United States was more controversial or more complex than the problem of Israel. In 1948, I was up to here in experts from the Army, the Navy, and the State Department.
The experts of the United Kingdom and the Arabian experts all threatened dire consequences if the United States recognized the newly formed State of Israel.
I was told by all these so-called experts that if it was done, it would involve the whole Near East in a war, and it would also involve the United States.
The Arabs demanded the Jews leave Palestine. The English wanted to keep the status quo.
Our State Department and Chiefs of Staff didn't want to antagonize the Arabs. All the oil-consuming countries wanted to placate the Arabs so they'd get their hands on that oil, the most valuable oil deposit in the world, anywhere. And the Jews didn't want any compromise. I don't know what you're going to do to fix that kind.
In Matthew chapter 24, verse 32, we are reminded, "Ye know that summer is nigh." With that phrase, Jesus gave us a clue. One of Israel's symbols is the menorah. It is to this day made out of pure gold as a symbol of divine light spreading throughout the world. It was used in Solomon's temple to light it and is ready to do it again in the third temple waiting to be built. The seven candlesticks represent the seven churches. The oil in the hollow tubes represents the Holy Spirit. Each candlestick is likened to a feast such as Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, representing Jesus who was without sin. The day of first fruits was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The middle candle represents baptism, Shavuot. Jesus baptized his disciples with fire, the Holy Spirit, at Pentecost. The conception of Ecclesia, the body of Christ Jesus. Prophecies yet to be fulfilled. Friends, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and wish to be in the rapture, say this prayer with me right now, okay? It will be available on Cephas-radio.com in case you can't follow it. Cephas, Cephas-radio.com. Our Father, who art in heaven, thank you for giving up your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who was the only one who was without sin, and able and willing to take the penalty for all our sins by shedding his blood, so we can be assured that he paid the penalty in full. He said the following before he died on the cross, "It is finished." God, Father, I humbly come before you and ask for forgiveness for my sins. I repent of them. I wish to become your child, born again of the Holy Spirit, who will be my teacher, my comforter, and my connection to you, Father God. I believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God. I wish to make him my Lord and Savior forever. Amen. This commitment will change me, and goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23:6. Remember, God is in control and allowing his word to be fulfilled when the time is right. Our assignment is to keep you informed as to not be deceived. Satan comes in a perfect coat. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Mark chapter 13, verse 22, "For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect." The elect have the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. Jesus taught in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Time's up. Celebrate our 25th anniversary with us at cephas-thrift-shop.com. cephas-thrift-shop.com. We're selling our inventory at a 90% discount, books, DVDs, CDs, etc. The DVDs and CDs are originals. The books used like new. We do have PayPal, who accepts credit cards, and they are safe. Join our monthly newsletter free, ad-free, and no soliciting at go-cephas.com. This radio program can be found on the web at cephas-radio.com. My email address is original@cephas-notes.com. Thanks for listening, and hope you'll have a happy and blessed week. Shalom. Rita Williams at cephasministry.com. CEPHAS ministry.com.